Thank you so much, Brother John.
Thank you, sir.
How is everybody today? Have you all had your persecutions this last week? We all have our doses of persecution every week, and that is because we're doing the right thing. We're on the right path, right? If you're not being persecuted, you're not doing something right. Today, I want to go ahead and read out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Oppression, toil, and friendlessness. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Okay, again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. I declared that the dead, who had already died, are happier than the living. Think about that statement for a minute. Who are still alive? But better than those is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. So here they're talking about how people who have died or have not been born are much happier than those of the living in this world. Why is that? And I saw that all the toil and all the achievements spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So here they state that work is meaningless in this world. It's only meaningful to the sense that you guys provide for those you love and that you live, right? All right, again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For I am toiling. For whom am I toiling, he asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken, but two is, and so is one, right? Advancement is meaningless. Better a poor but wise youth than an old foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. The youth may have come from prison to kingship, or he may have been born in poverty within his kingdom. I saw that all who lived and walked under the sun followed the youth, the king's successor. There was no end to all the people who were before them. But those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now let me get to my point here. My point is that the power is not in the hands of the rich, but in the hope and faith of the meek and humble. For it is promised that the meek will inherit the earth, right? Not the rich and arrogant, living under the illusion of might. For their might is temporary and cowardice hidden under a guise of wealth and material things. Salvation is eternal and tangible. Amen. The less you have to weigh your soul down, and here you were talking about anchors, the more rich you truly are. Be truly guiltless, for guilt is an anchor on your soul, isn't it? As we came in naked with nothing, so will we leave naked with nothing. Our work, our toils have no meaning. Except to those who come after us, the future generations. I want you all to think about how often in a day, or a month, or a year, you think about the work of your great-great-grandfathers. And now imagine how you yourself will be remembered for what you do in a few or more generations, if you are remembered at all, everyone. Toil is meaningless except as a means of survival for the time you are here and to advance your family ahead of you, as I said earlier. Every generation is a stepping stone for the next generation, a progression of generational familial advancement. The rich think less of their salvation and more of their monetary and material gain. The poor think about providing for their families, while the rich only think about lifting their egos higher. God looks lovingly upon those who are willing to admit their weaknesses and rewards those who honestly and earnestly seek Him in faith. The rich and arrogant won't ask Him for selfless help. The meek, everyone, will inherit the earth, the humble, the meek. And all of those people out there that have less have more. Every one of you who complains that you don't have enough, look at what you have. You have your salvation, you have your soul. Is that not rich enough? God provides everything you need, to the merit of which you need it, to the merit of which you use it. He knows all of your needs before you know you even need them, and will provide to anyone who asks Him in faith for help and guidance, for love, peace, happiness. He will grant you everything as long as you believe in Him. Faith is key, everyone. Not material, not money, not how big your house is, not how fancy your car is, not the clothes you wear, not the shoes you walk in, not the motorcycles you have in your garage. It does not matter the size of your yard. It doesn't matter if you live in a box or if you live in a humble home. He will bless you with the less you have and the more faith you have, the more you have above material things in this world, everyone. Hallelujah to that. There is no end to His gifts and His love and everything He will provide you as long as your eyes are on Him and not on the material gain of this world. Nothing in this world means anything. Nothing means anything beyond a means to an end. For you all to get to your salvation and that alone, the race is important for every one of you to cross that finish line. Whether you do it with someone by your side or alone does not matter. He said you will lose everyone for following Him, but still do it anyway. Right? He said people will judge you harshly for following Him. He never promised the road would be easy. He promised it would be hard. He promised the road would be difficult. That straight and narrow is called narrow for a reason. It is the thin line between salvation and damnation. That road is the thinnest road to follow, and it is not straight. It is said to be straight, but it is full of obstacles. The straight and narrow road, being so full of obstacles, should not deter you from walking it. Every one of you, do not fall off into the wilderness because there are difficulties ahead of you. Have faith in God and pray, and keep your faith and your eyes on Him. Keep your faith strong and ironclad no matter what devils approach you or demons are in front of you. You ask Him for help, He is much larger and stronger than them. Imagine, the true Goliath is God. Over all demons and devils, snakes and scorpions, and we have the power to trample them all. Is that not true? In the Bible it states, we have the power to trample and stomp snakes and scorpions, and we shall not be harmed for doing so, and no weapon formed against us will succeed. If you have God on your side, who can stand against you? Imagine this. We are here not just as guides, not just as preachers. We are here as those hands that help people when none other do. We are here as those people that pull everyone out of their damnation and give them to God. We are those that are here to help them to the gates, to the green pastures on the other side, so they will not pass into judgment. We teach them to have faith in God for those who are ignorant. We are here to help every single one of these people that approach us, and we are not to turn anyone away from our doors. Anyone He sends to us, we help them regardless of what they ask, because there's a reason He sent them. Okay? Because we have the power to help these people. He gave it to us, did He not? He gave us the power to help everyone that approaches us. Everyone around you is your neighbor. Not just the house next to your house. Every single person around you is your neighbor. If they need help, you help them. This is what He says. Honor thy neighbor as thyself. And love everyone as He has loved you. Remember this. And have faith in God and you will be saved. This is His promise. He comes soon. Repentance is necessary for everyone to be taken into His arms, for everyone to be saved. One must have faith. There are no exceptions to that rule. So for us to teach everyone to have faith, that is absolute expedience. We are evangelists for a reason. We are an army of salvation for the people. We are all here to save the people, not just ourselves. What good is it if all you do is save yourself? As it said in Ecclesiastes 4, the man who had no one had all that rich and wealth, but didn't care about what he had because it was meaningless. When you have no one, it means nothing. If you save no one, then what is the point? Save others while you have time, as you are too saved. It is a gift given to you for free, so too give it for free. This is something that we do freely, without cost. For we came in without cost, we will go out without cost. Remember this, everyone. Amen and hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother John. I must rest my voice.